Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're talking about an exciting event happening this weekend. It's the first annual Spring Open House by the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. The Wildlife Center of the North Coast rehabilitates wildlife in our area, and they're typically not open to the public. They're located about 9 miles outside Astoria on the Olney Highway 202, just before the Olney store. And this is going to be the first of an annual spring open house. It's all day Saturday, May 5, from 10 to 5, and then Sunday again, 10 to 5 on May 6th. And here to talk about that and the Wildlife Center of the North Coast is the executive director, Josh Sarampa. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Donna.
I'm very happy you're in the studio today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And I'm excited about this open house, too.
Yeah.
So before we talk about that, though, let's let the listening audience hear a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so I'm a third-generation native Astorian. I got involved with the Wildlife Center of the North Coast when I was 16 years old, between my sophomore and junior year at Astoria High School. I started volunteering with the Wildlife Center, not really knowing anything about wildlife rehabilitation or anything about native birds and how to handle them. In fact, I was kind of terrified of birds at the time. Fell fast in love with the mission and the work of the Wildlife Center. So I started spending the majority of my free time out there. And then Sharnell Fee, the founder and longtime director, kind of took me under her wing, so to speak. And I got my wildlife rehabilitator's permit in the state of Oregon when I was 18 and became like the unofficial assistant rehabilitator on a volunteer basis. And then, of course, spent a lot of my time volunteering off and on through the years as I went to college and had full-time jobs. And in 2014, I started back up at the Wildlife Center on a full-time volunteer basis. And then our founder and director, Sharnell, became really ill, and she passed away September of 2015. Excuse me. And at that time, I took over as executive director of the organization. So, I mean, the rest is kind of history there as far as my history with the organization. And we've been really growing quite a bit in the past three years.
Well, the Wildlife Center of the North Coast was a vision that Sharnell Fee had, and it is a 501c3. So you get your funding from donations, from memberships, and from grants.
Right.
And so what was Sharnell's vision, and then what really happened? Like, she saw this acreage outside of Olney.
Yeah, so Sharnell, she moved to the coast to help Oregon's seabirds. That she saw a need. There was no rehabilitation centers that were focusing their time and efforts on seabirds, and so she wanted to leave the hustle and bustle of Portland, move to the coast, and start her own rehabilitation center on the coast. And she grew from doing just a couple hundred animals a year to doing about 2,000 animals on average a year. So her vision really was just to help these individual animals every year and put them back out to live the rest of their lives.
How many acres is the Wildlife Center?
Our organization, so our facility sits on about 105 acres just east of Astoria. So it's 105 acres, 50 of that just about is wetlands. So we have protected wetlands on our property, and the rest is all just forest land.
And what is the actual mission of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast?
Well, we're committed. Our mission is to promote compassion, empathy, and respect for all life through wildlife rehabilitation, ecological teachings, and wildlife research. So we have kind of three facets. We work on wildlife rehabilitation. That's kind of our first and foremost mission, is taking care of the wildlife. Then we also do environmental or ecological teachings, where we bring non-releasable animals to the public to teach about these animals or promote stewardship within, to kind of cultivate stewardship with the children and the public. And then our smaller facet is wildlife research. So all the rehab and information we collect with what we do in wildlife rehab goes to the greater wildlife research community, so they can, be sure to kind of monitor, because wildlife, especially seabirds, are what we call environmental indicators, and so they are, they kind of tell us what's going on out in the environment. So,
absolutely. So, when you say you're rehabilitating wildlife, what kind of wildlife are you typically? I know it's mostly shorebirds and seabirds, and so let's talk about the kind of patients you have, and then what that rehabilitation looks like.
Yeah. So, for the most part, we specialize in seabirds and aquatic birds. So, we have it's a very wet climate at our facility because there's a lot of water going on, but we do rehabilitate almost all native wildlife. So there are some caveats. We are regulated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So there are some things we cannot do. But for the most part, we do most small mammals. We'll do porcupines, beavers, river otters, chipmunk, squirrels, bunnies. But then we also do all native birds. So we'll do everything from bald eagles down to hummingbirds and everything in between.
Hummingbirds. Oh, my gosh. How do you rehabilitate a hummingbird?
It's not easy. It's very difficult.
I would think it would be harder than an eagle.
Yeah. And so the rehabilitation process is pretty it's very individualized. It depends on what the problem is with the animal. If we have a duckling that came in because it's orphaned, that's just a matter of feeding it, raising it, making sure it doesn't like people. That's a difficult thing, is making sure that these animals that are being dealt with by people every day don't become fond of people, because then they end up getting harmed
being
in the future.
Friendly, yeah. Unfortunately, and then that can hurt them. Yeah.
So, that's kind of the process. It just depends on the animal. If we have a broken wing, a bird with a broken wing, it's just a matter of healing that wing with a wing wrap or a cast, essentially, getting them flighted and conditioned, sending them back out.
And what are the reasons that we have we have a lot of needs for rehabilitation of our bird population, and what are the reasons that they are injured?
Well, so over 80% of the time, I have the statistic somewhere at my facility, but it's closer to 90% of the time, it's human caused. It's hit by a car. It's hit by car, wrapped in fishing line. It's being shot illegally. It's or a window strike, which is, no one intentionally put a window there for an animal to run into, but it is a human caused issue. Cat caught is technically a new human cause. So we get a lot of majority of it is human related. And then the other end is, we get animals that, like bald eagles, are fighting with each other during mating season. We'll get one that's got a broken wing. Some more natural causes. We get ones that are just simply starving out there. They aren't doing well finding food, whether that's the ocean doesn't have a lot of fish in it, right, maybe, or they're just young and inexperienced, or they have some underlying issue that needs to be taken care of. So majority is human-caused impacts or problems. Then, of course, we do get the natural causes as well.
And how do you operate, Josh? You have volunteers, I know, because you have an extensive network. Because when people find an injured bird, and I've called you because I found an injured bird several years ago, and so you have volunteers who pick up birds up, because you're the only. Well, talk about how the fact is that you're the only seabird specialty facility here in.
So we are the only in Oregon. We are the only facility that specializes in seabird rehabilitation. We have these, large specialized pools that are made just for rehabilitating seabirds that are filtering at all times. And then, of course, our geographic zone, we serve all of Southwest Washington, Long Beach Peninsula. We actually go all the way up to Ocean Shores, down to Newport, Oregon. So it's around 200 miles of beach or more, or of coastline. We have a large geographic zone. We have about 35 on-site volunteers a week that come through, help with cleaning cages, medicating and feeding the animals, maintenance of facilities, helping with any program or events that we're doing. And then we have probably another 50 or so transport volunteers up and down the coast that, we get an animal down in Lincoln City. We call our Lincoln City volunteer, see if he can pick it up, hold it for a day, and send it up or something. So we do have a large network of volunteers. We're always looking for more.
Okay, good. So there's an opportunity if you want to volunteer at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. And you can go to their website, which is coastwildlife.org, too, to find out more opportunities about volunteering. So you have a network of volunteers. You have a very small staff. So it's just you as the executive director, and then you have who else works?
So my staff is very small. And prior to Charnel passing, we didn't have any paid staff. It was all volunteer 100%. So we have grown just in these 2.5, almost 3 years, to having four total staff, which is the 3 full-time equivalent. So myself full-time as the executive director. And then we also have a full-time rehabilitation coordinator. She's my most recent hire. Pauline Baker is her name. She runs my clinic, manages the wildlife clinic. So she's full-time. Then I have a part-time facilities coordinator who's my maintenance guy. He does everything from building new enclosures to, helping fix up our trails. He's awesome. And then we also have a part-time, we're hiring right now for a part-time development and communications coordinator, but that's also a position we hire for paper.
Right. Okay. So you're looking for a development coordinator who's going to actually look at doing some fundraising, doing event planning, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's on our website as well, under the About Us tab. There's a thing that says we're hiring. But I'm hiring for a development and communications coordinator. That's basically everything from event planning, social media and website management, to grant writing and, really getting out there and mingling with the donors and helping us.
Because I know one of your goals is to try to be open more regularly to the public, because this is a very rare opportunity this weekend that you're open. And we're going to talk about what people can see when they go out there in just a minute. But some of the things, and hopefully, even this is a completely free event, although you're hoping that people would make maybe a $10 donation for a car worth of people. But but you would like to move in the direction of expanding into more education, right? And so there's a preliminary kind of idea for an education center, right?
Yep. Yeah, so right now, one of my biggest focuses is really growing our education piece to our organization. So we do have a building on our property that we've been fixing up to be what we want to consider or call our education center, where we would have, that's where our education animal enclosures would be around that building. So people could come out, take a look at our education animals, kind of learn about who we are, what we do. And, you know, it's just a really good way, because one of our, you know, one of our really big things, we want to help connect people with nature, you know, because I feel there's a huge disconnect these days, you know, people and nature, and I think it's really important to really bridge that gap again. So yeah, education center is a huge thing, and so this event especially is to try to get people's minds or help people realize that we're here and that we have been here for we're in our 21st year of existence now, and to help people. I mean, we, of course, as a nonprofit, 501c3, we need support, both financial and physical support. So just kind of help overall wrap people's minds around the fact that we are here and that we provide a necessary and important service here.
Yeah, and I think educating children so very vital and important about respect for wildlife and not because, and there are a lot of things like people aren't aware of what the damage plastic can do to wildlife. And of course, I think there's some toxic chemicals on lawns and things that are dangerous too. But, and it's actually illegal to harm, right?
Yeah. Maybe. So the big things that we start every program with, we talk to the children, especially, of course, adults as well, but about, how we harm wildlife, you know, inadvertently, whether that's, you know, we throw our plastic straw in the garbage and it misses and it ends up in a storm drain, ends up in the ocean and, you know, in a turtle's throat or something. So we really push not using single-use plastics at our organization. You know, we will talk about different alternatives because we get certain seabirds called northern fulmars, which are related to albatross, that come in literally filled with plastic. They eat the plastic on the surface of the oceans, and they end up feeling full. They starve themselves to death. They can't pass that plastic. They can't regurgitate it. So we really talk about plastic. That's a huge thing since we're a seabird organization, and it's such a big problem, especially here in the U.S. So we push that. We also talk to the children about what's illegal with wildlife. And so we talk about the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, you know, that it's illegal to harm, harass, or possess any part of or any native migratory bird, meaning they can't shoot them, they can't run over their car, they can't chase them. That's technically harassment. And they technically can't even possess a feather, which everyone has brought feathers home in their life. You know, you're not going to get thrown in jail about it. But we do talk about the fact that certain birds have been hunted to extinction for their feathers, and that's why that law exists.
Exactly. But and you know what's great is when you are able to expand that education center, I mean, people love what they can understand and see. And right now I know you've taken like a pygmy owl out to the schools and things like that. And just even this open house this weekend, people will have the opportunity to see an animal. I mean, I think we've talked about the fact that they'd be able to see a double-crested cormorant up close.
Yeah, so we have a few education animals that people would actually be able to physically see these animals up close. And, of course, at the event, I'll be doing an education program at noon both days with these live birds. But, yeah, they'd be able to see a double-crested cormorant up close and kind of be able to see them in as much a native or real environment as we could possibly provide in a captive setting. We also have a kestrel falcon that they'll be able to see up close that's trained to a glove. And then we have a little widgeon, a little American widgeon duck that's part of our program as well.
Well, and when they go out there, they're going to see other things too. And let's talk about that in the second half of the program about the facilities and what they're going to be able to do at this really fun event, a way to see wildlife, a way to be out in nature with your family. Mm-hmm. It's a free open event to the public. It's the first annual spring open house by the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. They're located 9 miles outside of Estuary on the only highway 202, just before the only store. And there'll be some signage out there so for people can see. So it's this Saturday, May 5th, and Sunday, May 6th, both days, 10 to 5. So grab your children, your grandparents, and get in the car and drive out there for a wonderful experience. And because there, we'll talk more about all the fun things that are going on. In the studio today, I have Josh Zarampa. Josh is the executive director of the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. And we've heard about their mission in the first half of the program. So tell us about this spring open house. What's going to happen? What will people be able to experience?
Yeah, so this, like you said earlier, this is our kind of inaugural spring open house. We plan to have this event every year around the same time. The kind of the idea is to bring some more support, because our busy time starts basically now. This is when we start getting our baby animals in all the way through summer. And so it's going to get busy. We're going to be, you know, spending a lot of money to care for these animals. So this is a really great way for people to really see what we do, the animals we take care of, learn about, you know, how they can help us support these animals as well. Anyway, the event is going to be, it's all day long, both days. And we have, we'll be giving tours throughout the day. You know, there's no set schedule. You just show up and you can get a tour of the facility.
Noon, you're doing the live bird presentation. So at noon on Saturday and noon on Sunday, live bird presentation. Okay.
Yeah. So
able to see birds when they're out there.
Yeah.
But the live bird, the actual presentation is at noon.
Yeah. So noon both days, we'll be closing down tours and everything just to try to get people to our program.
All right.
And then we'll reopen it all up again. So we have the live bird presentation at noon. We'll have a booth for children activities, you know, craft activities. So they'll be able to make, you know, a nature sun catcher, we call them. They can make little natural bird feeders as well at this booth and take them home with them. They can make little, you know, eagle puppets out of paper bags.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
An activity for the whole family to go out and to experience that. It's a beautiful piece of property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, okay, so the children's program, the children's booth, you're going to have some snacks and coffee and things like that.
Yeah, plenty of little finger foods and snacks to, you know, nothing really too fancy. And then we also are going to be having a native tree and plant sale that day as well. I have about 35 native trees and plants of different varieties, everything from Western azaleas to sword ferns and mountain strawberries. So we'll be selling those as well that day. They make really great gifts for Mother's Day if you know.
That's a good idea.
Week before Mother's Day. We'll also have our merchandise booth. We'll be selling t-shirts and sweatshirts. We sell bird themed earrings and necklaces as well that one of our members makes for us. And the tours of our facility and our education center. It's gonna be a really busy day, but it's gonna be a really fun event to get to meet our staff.
Yeah, and I know you have volunteers helping. And so what? Mm-hmm. So people are gonna get to see the actual hospital, right?
Yep. One of the tours goes right through our clinic. So my staff person Pauline will be actually giving that tour, showing the enclosures that are inside, showing our exam room, and kind of letting people really see that we are a full functioning wildlife hospital in our facility, that we're not, you know, we're just not just out of a little trailer, you know, putting birds in kennels. We have stainless steel, you know, veterinary cages. We have, you know, it's fairly state of the art hospital that we operate out of.
That's terrific. And I remember, and then you have, what do you call, and it's not an aviary, but you have the, a big, because I was out there, and you have a big water area, what is that called?
Yeah, so we have what we call it our pelagic pools. Pelagic is a word for, it just means ocean-born or ocean-living animals. So we have our pelagic pools for all of our pelagic species. So we have 4 1,000-gallon pools that are filtering 24/7 when there are birds in there. And so our birds that spend all their time out in the ocean and, naturally, that spend all the time in the ocean, they are rehabilitated in these filtered pools. And so we'll be giving a tour of all of our enclosures, all of our aviaries, including the filtered pools as well.
Yeah, and you have pelicans. I remember seeing pelicans out there.
Yeah, we have our 155-foot flight cage for pelicans, our 100-foot flight cage for bald eagles, and then we have a barn enclosure. We have about 15 or 16 outdoor enclosures for our wildlife.
Wow, that's expanded since I've been there. It's been a while since I've been out there. So over the years, you said you were actually afraid of birds when you started. Mm-hmm. So do you have a special soft spot in your heart for a particular kind of wildlife that you rehabilitated and gotten to know?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. And I'll find myself telling people, this one's my favorite bird. You know, this specific species is my absolute favorite bird. But then the very next time I see this different species, I'm like, oh, no, this is my favorite bird. So I think I've decided that I don't have a favorite species. There are some that I do have. There's like a special spot in my heart for like double crested, all the cormorants really, but double crested cormorants are some of my favorite. Just as far as like natural history goes, they're pretty adaptable. You know, they can, you know, hunt in freshwater, saltwater. They can eat land mammals of different smaller kinds. They can, you know, nest in trees, on the bare ground, and man-made structures. And they are some of the most dangerous animals we work with. You wouldn't expect. Yeah, so when we train our volunteers, we train them to handle cormorants at the same stage that they're learning how to handle raptors and eagles, just because they're so fast. They got a hook on their bill. But yeah,
they're
smart. Most birds are very smart. You know, we rehabilitate gulls, Western gulls, California gulls. And they, you know, a lot of those will clean off their fish in their bowl of water before they eat them. You know, they like to rinse them off. And so I really don't, I just like birds. So
all right.
I don't really have a specific favorite species, but there are a lot that are just really fun to get in.
Well, we know that wildlife enriches our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all want those moments of awe and wonder and that wildlife gives us. And so you have volunteers, but you can always use more volunteers, right?
We can always use more volunteers.
So people could go out there this weekend and see if that's something for them. And then you might have maybe an opening or two on the board if somebody's interested in actually learning about becoming a board member, too.
Yeah, we're always accepting information from interested individuals that might be interested in serving on our board, if that's the best way they can serve our organization. And if that was something that someone's interested in, they could just reach out to me by going to our website and emailing the info at, or emailing me at josh@coastwildlife.org. If they're interested in joining our board, because we are expanding and trying to expand our board as well and the knowledge on our boards. But yeah, volunteering, we're always looking for volunteers of all different kinds. That could be a simple transport volunteer, which is someone that drives and picks up animals and brings them to us. Could be a hands-on center or hospital volunteer that's actually working, scrubbing cages and handling the wildlife. Maintenance volunteers, outreach volunteers, all kinds of different opportunities.
But volunteering there is a wonderful way to be in the natural world doing something with wildlife. So it's not only the volunteers are giving to the Wildlife Center and to help our wildlife, our injured wildlife, but they also receive back I don't even know what you would call it. There's just something that happens when you spend time in the outside world. And you're right. We are nature deprived.
Mm-hmm, we are.
I mean, we're very fortunate we live here and not in, you know, New York City, maybe the heart of New York City, although some people think that's, you know, that's where they
urban
thrive,
or the concrete,
you know?
Jungle, yeah.
But there is being out with trees and with, you know, our native vegetation and our native wildlife. So as we expand, and you know, things are expanding, we're getting more tourism, there's a lot more happening, the need for this is greater.
It is. And especially in this area, you know, this town is growing pretty, you know, especially with all the big stores being put up everywhere, and so we're bound to have more, you know,
human wildlife
conflict and interaction. So one of our things is just trying to help people learn. We offer, one of the services we offer, we don't deal with nuisance wildlife in a way that we go out and remove them from your property, but we will help over the phone discuss solutions to any nuisance wildlife problems you might be having, whether there's a raccoon in your attic. You know, how can we humanely help you get that raccoon out of your house?
Can you mention just briefly, there's been reports of a cougar up on top of the mountain?
You know, I don't know much about, I have heard the reports. And is that here in Astoria?
On Skyline.
Yeah. I'd be pretty surprised, just because they have such a huge
8th and Duane or 5th and Duane.
Yeah, they have such a huge, you know, territory. I'd be pretty surprised if one's flourishing there.
Yeah, and you know what I think too, because I read the newspaper article too, and nobody actually saw it. There's been no sighting. And you know what? If you get a bunch of raccoons, they can make a terrible racket. It sounds awful. There's screaming. There used to be a lot more raccoons when I moved here, and I don't see as many anymore. But they can make ferocious noises.
Yeah, they can.
So I mean, I have some doubts about.
I got
that
one other
thing.
Comment. Did I hear you mention you've got a hummingbird?
We don't have a hummingbird currently, but we do rehabilitate hummingbirds.
When my wife and I lived in Seattle, we rescued domestic animals, and I had a chance to see a hummingbird nest the size of a silver dollar and an egg the size of a pea.
Yeah, they are small little eggs. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're so beautiful. So, Josh, here we are now. We only have a few minutes left on the program, and And we really want to encourage everyone to become familiar, because you have been out there for all these years quietly doing the very important work you're doing and going to schools and helping educate. And you want to expand the educational piece, which I think is just really brilliant and very important. And so now you have this first annual Spring Open House this Saturday and Sunday. And it's 9 miles outside of Astoria, Highway 202. It's just before the Only Store, and you'll have signs out there.
We'll have signs, yep.
What other things would you like the listening audience to know as we wrap up the show?
Well, you know, like we mentioned before, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We rely on the support of the communities that we serve, both financial and physical. So that's volunteering. That's helping us, you know, make the purchase of the food for the animals. We have many different ways that people can support our organization, volunteering and financially. And so we have a wish list on our website that you can go to help us get, like, if you wanted to buy an actual concrete hard thing, you know, like Dawn dish soap or exam gloves or, you know, a shop vac. We need a shop vac right about now. You know, there's different things on our wish list that you could potentially purchase for us. We also have a membership program. It's a non-voting member, so you're not, it's not your conventional membership, but it's as little as $45 a year. You make a contribution, you can do all that through our website as well. But that gets you invitations to private releases that we're doing. So like right now we have a bald eagle that we'll be releasing in a couple weeks, and that's going to be a membership release. Always sending invites out. So as little as $45 a year, you get invites to releases, frequent updates about what's going on at our facility, and then you also get a quarterly newsletter that's members only, kind of just getting everyone really making sure everyone's staying involved and knowing what we're doing out there. So, I mean, I think that's really important to us, is for people to know that we really rely on our communities too. And this community is excellent as far as helping us out and supporting us, but we're always looking for more people to be involved and helping us out.
Because you have wonderful veterinarians who work with you.
Yeah, we work with Bayshore Animal Hospital has been working with us for many, many years over in Warrenton, Oregon. Dr. Pope was our vet for, you know, since the dawn of our time, basically. And now we've transitioned over to Dr. Lisa Lewis, who's also at Bayshore Animal Hospital. And they work really closely with us. They're excellent vets. No one I would trust more with my wildlife that we work with. But they're excellent.
You have wonderful people doing wonderful. I mean, you're a very impressive young man, Josh. You have
thank you.
You have really taken over, and you have expanded, and you're doing really vital work to help us keep our wildlife here flying and swimming and doing all the things that they do, which make our lives so much richer.
Yeah,
so
thank you
so much. And I just want to encourage everyone, this is a rare opportunity. The Wildlife Center of the North Coast is not open to the public. However, this weekend, Saturday, May 5, Sunday, May 6, from 10 to 5, it's the first annual Spring Open House at the Wildlife Center of the North Coast. Go to their website. It's coastwildlife.org, or just get in your car, drive out there. It's a free event, although, you know, there's food, there's drink, and so a donation would be lovely. And make that something that you do this weekend. Make that something that you help your children learn about the value of wildlife and get a tour of this wonderful facility.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Thank you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Awesome. Thank you so much, Josh, for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And I will see you this weekend.
Great.
And Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, thank you so much for being here in the studio. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life, on feeling good. There will always be those things that aren't going well, but focus on the things that are. This beautiful sunny day, and for being here. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, and for doing the best you can in this now moment, the only moment exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.